Lori Prox here with Dr. Kathleen Todd, and we spoke at length yesterday about the hospital situation here in Valdez and an overwhelmed staff, a shortage of nurses, inability at times to transport patients because of the state of our hospital system in Alaska and around this, you know, around the state, the different hospitals that we can send our patients to. But we really didn't get into testing. And I think people are running into, running into the question of, you know, where do I get a test? How do I, and I know you get that question a lot. So we'll start there because, testing has become a part of our life now with COVID to try to manage and mitigate. So the status of testing is not what it was months ago because of availability, as I understand it.
Yeah, people have gotten into the habit, a very good habit, if they have any little symptom, they go get a test. And then if that turns out to be positive, if it turns out to be negative, well, maybe it's their allergies or maybe they have a headache because they're worrying about COVID too much, but they can kind of take heart that probably their symptoms aren't due to COVID, or they test positive, and they are due to COVID, and they can say, "Oh, wait a minute, I'm not going back to work. I'm pulling this kid out of school," and then we can also go from there and say, "Okay, well, who were your close contacts? Because what about the 2 days before you started having symptoms? That's when we know that people are just as contagious 2 days before they get symptoms as they are the first day they get the symptoms. And so we can, if you have a positive test, then we can go figure that all out and say, oh, who could you have exposed? Let's keep those people out of the general public also, so that in case they are incubating a case, we can get them out of work before they get symptomatic and spread it around to a bunch of other people. So you kind of try to stop that cascade of cases before it starts and or before it gets out of hand. And so yes, go get a test if you have any symptoms. The problem is that the people who were making the test kits for the machines that can do the test that is done in 15 minutes, that the two doctor's offices have been doing all this time, at the beginning of the summer, they said, holy cow, everything's getting better. This is great. And we've got huge stockpiles of this stuff. So all you people who work at our factories, go home, and we're going to shut these factories because we don't even need this anymore. Very defective crystal ball. Very defective Ouija board. Whatever they were using, wrong, because then the cases started going up. So we need more tests because more people have been exposed. More people are close contacts. And everybody was trying to be very careful because of that. And so they said, oh, okay, everybody go get a test once a week if you work for me. Hospitals have been doing that for a while, but you know, a lot of places said, okay, either you get a vaccine or you get tests. So we need more tests for that. So we need have more demand. And the company said, holy cow, you want some more tests? And they had to, it was something like 95% of their production was shut down. So it's going to take them a while to get the factories running again and churn these things out. So more people want one. There aren't very many to be had. And so we are trying very hard to back like it was at the beginning when we only had 10 tests in town or something. It's not quite that bad, but we're not getting the number of tests that we would like to have. And so we just don't have the testing supplies. I will also say that if there's a huge increase in demand, that one tester can only do so many tests in a day. If you can do one every 15 minutes in an 8-hour day, you can only do 32 tests. And I'll say it doesn't go quite that smoothly. So if all of a sudden somebody says, oh, okay, we want all of our employees tested on Monday, and that's 60 people, like, holy cow, then nobody else gets a test. So between the increased demand and the lack of testing supplies, we're having to be really stingy with what we can do here in town where you get a result right away.
Well,
and people have become very used to that, and so it's going to take some change in thinking on our part to figure out what to do until the testing supplies and the capability catches up.
Where's the best place to find information? I feel like I need to be tested. Where do I go look?
Well, that is a question. I hope that I think Swan's trying to keep up with that. I think the city is is now trying to talk about that. You can call the tester's numbers. You have to do that anyway to get an appointment.
Are those numbers on a website somewhere? People can find them? I think the
numbers
haven't
changed. They are on the city's website. They are on SWAN's Facebook page. There's still the numbers that are on some of the old posters at the post office.
So if you scroll through that, and that is valdezak.org, and then click the COVID at the top, but it is a scrolling page. So right now, I think the proclamation is near the top. So you're going to have to scroll to find other info down the page. So if you're looking for that testing, and the number should be the same.
Yeah. So at the moment, the state is really low on those tests, and it's not a matter of money. It's just that there are not enough tests in the country to go around for the demand. And I hope the state of Alaska is in there kicking and squirming and to say, hey, we demand our fair share, because we are number one is how many patients we have per capita. We don't make the evening news because we don't have as many patients as Florida, but we don't have as many people as Florida either. And we are currently leading the country. This is what we do not want to be, leading the country in how many cases we have per population.
And Kathy, why do you think that is?
We have one of the lowest vaccination rates in the country. I think that we haven't jumped back to mask mandates or limiting sizes of gatherings or that sort of thing because of our politics. Probably some luck of the draw. Probably some the tourists all brought it, and we got stuff from all over the country. I don't know, but we went from basically it was less than 10% Delta variant at the beginning of the summer to it all being Delta variant now, and Delta variant is much more contagious.
Testing. It's hard to look at numbers because it depends on, if you're not doing a lot of testing, you don't have a lot of positive cases. If you're doing a lot of testing, you're going to have more positive cases. But your percentage of people that you test and who is positive is some indication, right? And those are pretty big numbers right now. And I think part of that is because I think the encouragement is because of the lack of tests available that only people who are symptomatic go get a test, right?
Right. Well, we're still trying to do close contact testing because that's, those are the people you put into quarantine, and they will only be willing to be there if they don't have to be in quarantine for forever, right? And so it's nice to be able to test them. But we are, at this moment, because we are so low on tests, we are asking some of those people to be tested via the state testing program, which has more supplies at the moment. And I have not heard that they are so overwhelmed that they don't have enough techs. If you'll remember at the beginning of the pandemic, when that's all we had was state tests, it would take a week or 10 days to get
and
your
Kathy,
test
I think
results
just
back.
To-
But now they're more like 4 days.
4 days, okay. And to clarify for folks, because I think it's like PCR test. Well, us, goofballs out here, like, I don't know what that is. So and I think you're calling it a state test, but the PCR test, right, is the state test that you send off and it takes 3 to 5 days, I think is what they're saying now. Is that correct?
Yeah, so the state test is a PCR test. Test, let's see which kind of tests there are. There's PCR tests. Those are the most sensitive. They multiply the number of viruses in the sample by some chemistry. Like you say, okay, if there's one virus, let's make it into 10, 100, whatever, so we can then detect it. So PCR tests are the most sensitive. They'll pick up the fewest number of viruses. So they're the most accurate in terms of can you really be sure that I don't have this? So they're the best test. However, from Valdez, it gets taken by truck Monday through Friday only. So you can only collect it Sunday through Thursday. It gets taken by truck to Anchorage and then moved to Fairbanks where our samples get done. And then it comes back electronically, but there's some transportation in there that really messes you up. So for instance, if you're in Anchorage, it comes back a little faster because it didn't have to go anywhere. It just started in Anchorage and ended in Anchorage. If you get one done in the Anchorage airport, which I've just had two done a week apart on either end of a trip, and you can get your test done before your luggage arrives, and you'll have the answer in 48 hours. They say 72, but both of mine came back in 48 hours or less because it's getting done right there in town.
So that's something, Kathy, we should interject. You know, like what can people do? And, you know, we kind of jump to, you know, the really controversial political stuff, but people could, if they travel, get the test at the airport. That's something that people could do. And that would alleviate some stress on our medical system here in Valdez.
Right. And people have been used to being able to get it on the optimum day and getting a fast test. Maybe it wasn't quite as sensitive, but it was right that day. And that's a very good strategy also. But knowing that we didn't have very many tests, for instance, on my way back, I got one, you know, got in at midnight 30 and did a test on my way to get my luggage. And I had it back by Monday noon. And so, I was able to go to work with that knowledge, having gotten it done in Anchorage and not requiring it to be done in Valdez.
Now,
and that's not what I would have done in the past, but that's what people need to be doing right now.
Are there other opportunities for people to you know, if they're just driving up to Anchorage, is it easier to get a rapid test there or a test there if they're in that area? Obviously, if you're here, you're going to have to plan.
I don't know about the rapid testing in Anchorage, but that is outside of, you know, it's down by a baggage claim. So anybody can drive up and park and walk in and get a test. No questions asked. You don't have to have just gotten off of an airplane. So, for instance, the other direction of my trip, I drove up to Anchorage and then I had some doctor's appointments Monday and then I was flying out Tuesday. So I did a test on Sunday. And then I sat in Anchorage and did my thing on Monday, and then I flew out Tuesday, and I had it available to me before I was going to go visit my parents' nursing home. So there are several places in Anchorage that do PCR tests, but there's way more rapid than if you try to get it done in Valdez, because you're doing the transportation. You have the sample in your nose.
Yeah, and it's my understanding, I think, from Emergency Manager Officer Basic, that the Alyeska is now requiring vaccination or a test. So, and I think you had alluded to that in our previous interview. That puts a little bit of a strain. So maybe there are some opportunities for businesses or organizations here to look outside of our medical system for answers to testing for employees.
Yeah. So besides the PCR tests, there is something that the state does. There is something very close to that that Big Providence does in Anchorage. And if you ask our system for a test for one of those periodic things, like I have to do that in order to go to long-term care here, they test all their employees by sending the samples to Anchorage, but to Providence Hospital and not to the state. It gets done pretty quickly. I get those back in a day and a half usually. But that system can handle what it's doing at the moment. But if you need one of those for something else, Providence is doing its employees and paying for its employees and its contractors like me. But if you need one to travel across Canada, for instance, that's a good enough test. It's good enough test to go to Hawaii. It is kind of a PCR test. It's slightly different, but it's a PCR test. And yes, you can get it done pretty quickly, but the hospital charges for that. And so if you're going to have surgery in Anchorage, that might work for you. You could definitely get it back within 72 hours, but you might have to pay for it. And if it's for surgery, your insurance might say, okay, it's going to cost the same whether you get it in Anchorage or here. So you might save yourself an early trip to Anchorage. But if you want it for travel, they're charging cash. Same thing that Tok was doing, same thing that Fairbanks does. If you want one for travel, you may have to pay some money nowadays. And people are not used to that. But our hospital is offering that, and the places that were doing it for the end of the tourist season, like Tok, Delta, whatever, are not doing it anymore. Glen Allen's not doing it anymore. They're not going to do a rapid test for you because they have the same problem with lack of supplies. But that's a very sensitive test also. And so one of the things you might do if you have one of those situations is call and ask the hospital, can I just come over and sign in like I was going to get my blood drawn for something, sign in to get a COVID test, have your money ready if it's not something an insurance is going to cover. And it's just, you know, we've been used to free tests, but they're not giving out free tests anymore for things like travel.
And here in Valdez, though, to my understanding, the city of Valdez is still trying to procure tests for our medical community, paying for those tests, and so that there is no charge to people going to get a test here in Valdez. However, I think if you were to go to charging, we had talked about this before, it's not just the fact that maybe people won't pay, but it's also an additional burden if the medical clinics, the doctor's offices have to actually charge. I mean, that's all paperwork and billing and more things to do. So, but we are in a status right now where the city is still paying here in Valdez, right?
Well, right. And the state, you know, we were trying to switch to business as usual before the current rise again. But so we're on the list to get supplies that we would pay for. And in the long run, it may all be through insurance and whatever, as opposed to just paid for through the state. But right at the moment, the city can only get, we can only get test kits from the state because they're trying to allocate them evenly. And the city can get them for free from the state. It's not free. Somebody's paying, the federal government, the state government, somebody's paying. But the person who needs the test, that is not a barrier. It's no questions asked if you need a test. The questions that are going to be asked are going to be, could you make do with some of the tests that would also be free? So, for instance, if you are vaccinated and you're exposed, the recommendation is you glue that mask to your face, even around your family members, even around other vaccinated people at work. You wear a mask really, really well, and you watch for any symptom. Symptomatic people always get tested. But with one exception that I can come back to. But symptomatic people get tested. But if you don't run any symptoms, you're supposed to get a test between day 3 and day 5. But you still get to go to work or go to school or whatever. So we're asking those people, the vaccinated people who are supposed to get a test to see if they're an asymptomatic carrier, those people, we're sending those tests off to the state, because what are they going to have to do if they're having to wait 4 or 5 days? Wear a mask. They should be doing that anyway. So it doesn't affect their lives very much. The people who are put into quarantine and are not vaccinated are supposed to get a test between 5 and 7 days so that they can go back to work on, or whatever, on day 8. Their alternative is to wait till 10 days and go back on day 11. So you can see that if you get a test done in the state testing on day 7, it'll come back on day 11 or 12 or something. You might as well have just waited the calendar out and forget using any testing supplies. But if you can get a test done on day 5, then 4 or 5 days, you might get back a day or two earlier. But we may be asking you to do that. We would love to do a quick test on you so that you can get back on day 8. But it may not happen if we don't have the supplies. The hospital has an in-between test. It's a little bit better than the Abbott test. That's what they use on ER patients, a few other cases. It's very time-consuming for our lab people to do that. It's not a 15-minute test. It's like an hour of their time every time they do one. And so we need people to not depend on that, because we need it for the hospital, and we need those technicians to be able to do your blood count and your blood chemistries and your cholesterol and your thyroid tests, all the other things that they have to do.
And Kathy, we talked extensively in our previous segment about the hospital, and I just learned from you that, you know, you're rationing our supplies by getting your own COVID test, you know, at the airport. But we didn't touch on, I think Pauline Doucette said in the meeting the other night, the city council special meeting, that 3 to 5 caregivers are out every week due to COVID. So that's and then our caregivers need to be tested, because obviously, you know, that's tough. That's a tough situation to deal with, and keep moving and keep working and try to keep providing care to people at our hospitals here. So
right, and it's very, very important that hospitals be safe places for people to come with COVID, but especially without COVID. We don't want people sitting home with their heart attack saying, oh gosh, if I go to the hospital, I might catch COVID from the staff. So the staff have special rules to get back to work, because they have to be, they're going to be up close and personal with patients, and so they have to do extra testing. And that's the kind of thing that gets taken care of by Providence for the Providence people. So if they have to get two tests and whatever, that's not getting taken care of by the state system at all.
And Kathy, after listening to the last two special meetings and hearing testimony from our medical officials about the state of, you know, their exhaustion and what they're dealing with on a day-to-day basis here at the hospital in Valdez, I almost hate to ask this, but what impact will the requiring employees at the hospital to have a vaccination, what kind of impact is that going to have on your staff? Is that going to be a big impact here? Any ideas?
The total impact is not yet known, partly because people are still thinking, but we do have employees that are not vaccinated for various reasons. If I were asked personally about each one, I would say that's a crazy reason, or that's a good reason. Or I can see where that person's coming from. I still think it's not a good reason, but I can see what they're thinking, just like I would with anybody in the public. And I think it's too bad that there is a national mandate that all hospital employees of certain kinds have to be vaccinated. There's kind of no way around that except at the national level. I think we will definitely lose some people over that, and that will be too bad because we do not have them to spare. And they're otherwise good people who have been putting on all their personal protective equipment and not getting COVID very often, even though they're exposed to it, being very careful at home because they're trying not to catch it at a bar or a church potluck dinner or evenings out with friends. They're restricting what they do at home and being very careful. But we will definitely lose some people to the mask mandate. I just don't know how many.
And is that October 15th? Is that
not the mask mandate? Excuse me, the vaccination mandate.
Yeah, and what is that? October 15th? Is that the?
It's October 15th for some institutions. For my office, for instance, it is not defined when it's going to be, but anybody that takes Medicare or Medicaid or TRICARE is going to be affected also, and they haven't given us a deadline. But for instance, I have one person who hasn't had their booster because they had the disease, and that's the only person in my office who is not up to date, and we're trying really hard to get them up to date quickly so that we won't have that problem. But everybody else in my office has voluntarily gotten the vaccine, and we don't have anybody except this one person who has had the disease that needs to get caught up. But it could affect anybody who takes federal money, but at a later date than the October.
And Kathy, do you have any idea what the vaccination rate is here in Valdez? You know, a lot of people are saying, you know, it's not good, it's not, but I haven't really frankly seen any numbers. And of course you alluded to the fact that kids can't have it. And then I think, you know, I think we had a big rollout of big vaccination clinics, which made it very, you know, people were very aware of those. You know, is there a chance that there, that availability or a little more information, or maybe a public, are there any plans in the works for that type
of?
Trying
very hard to make it super available without wasting too much of it. So I know that the Alpha Doc Clinic does give vaccinations, but they as does the pharmacy, and they coordinate that with the public health nurse. So if she has a bottle that has two doses left in it, and they have some people waiting in line, they'll try to use the same bottle across town for the same day. I've been telling people to just go to or call 835-4612, the State of Alaska Public Health Nurse is what you look it up in the phone book, and they keep a list of who wants what kind of vaccine, and when they have a bottle open, or they're going to open a bottle, they'll say, hey, you know, can you come Wednesday afternoon? How about Friday morning? Whatever. And they make it super easy. And at this moment, that's working very well for Terry Lynch, the public health nurse. If it gets to be too many overwhelming numbers, I'm sure that pods could be set up again. That may be the case here pretty soon. I have not heard of any pods being organized, but I hope everybody's heard that if you are over 65 or have a risk factor other than being old and decrepit like a few of us, that you are eligible for a third dose if you got Pfizer the first time. The other two vaccines are working on that. They are frankly holding up a little bit better, so they're trying to make sure that a third dose is going to help and not hurt. But people who got Pfizer the first time, and it's been more than 6 months since they got it, and who are in those risk groups, and you can find that on CDC website, state public health website, bunch of places as to what the risk people are. They also decided that people who are at high risk because they have what we've called front-facing jobs, like you're the clerk at the grocery store and have lots of people who you're exchanging germs with, unfortunately, those people are eligible for a third shot also if it's been at least six months since they got their first series of Pfizer. There are also the people who got Moderna or Pfizer who have immunocompromising conditions. They've got cancer and they're taking drugs for it. They've got arthritis and they're taking drugs for it. Their immune system is somehow beat down. They could ask their doctor whether they're eligible, or the public health nurse, whether they're eligible for a it's not even a booster. It's like they should probably have had three to begin with to make sure that they react. And so those people can get a third one. If there are enough people under those, or if they get this next thing where kids from 5 to 11 are going to be able to get shots, there probably will be big events. But for right now, call 4612 and get your name on the list and say, I want Johnson & Johnson, or I want this. And they'll accommodate you.
Okay, very good. Thanks for all that information. So if people do want the vaccination, health nurse, 835-4612, just to reiterate that number. And they are personal appointments. So that's the way to get her done. Thanks a lot for this info. And Kathy, I think we're going to have you on, if you're willing, every week and try to provide us some updates. And hopefully next time we talk, numbers are down, maybe a few less beds full. Maybe you get to sleep.
I hope that we flatten the curve. Remember that from way back in the beginning, that we flatten the curve enough that we won't need to do these broadcasts anymore.
Well, we're not there yet. So
nope,
at this point,
we're not there yet.
We'll definitely talk to you next Wednesday.
I'll look forward to it.